All right, dear brothers, it's good to see you all again on this once a month time on Monday evening. It's always a great comfort to me and encouragement to me to be able to even have these times to see all the brothers. Recently, I share quite a bit with a number of places, including leading brothers and serving brothers in the GTCA cities, so-called. And I also have some particular sharing with the church in Long Beach that I'm quite involved in right now. And also actually some fellowship with full-timers. Some of the full-timers who are here may have heard some of my burden. And even with some trainees in the full-time training. So this kind of burden has been percolating there, and in fact, I have a bit of fellowship with some of the core brothers in NorCal recently, and that is this, brothers. The more I am, the more we talk about the body, the more we are talk about or burden about the corporate side of the Lord's work. And we all know that God's purpose ultimately is not to get anything individual or individualistic. God's purpose is after a corporate vessel or a corporate man or a corporate body. And the church, as we know, is a corporate container. It's a corporate testimony. So we're all clear about that. And we're burdened for that very, very much. But the more I am, in these days anyway, I'm thinking about that and burdened for that, in a very unexpected way or in a very interesting way, I become more burdened simultaneously for the individual. For the individual saint, the individual Christian, the individual brother, and the individual sister. And in fact, the more I consider this, the more I become concerned or aware that this is an area, this is the area that we may be short in, that we have not spent adequate time to perfect the saints in or to build up the saints in. Actually, brothers, according to Ephesians chapter 4, you know, Ephesians chapter 4 is on the building, right? We know that of the body of Christ. And in verse 16, excuse me, you have this verse, out from whom all the body, right? All the body being joined together and being knit together through every joint of the rich supply and through the operation in the measure of each one part causes the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love. So here we are concerned with the building up of the body. More practically, the building up of the churches, the local churches, where we are. But how is this body built up? Well, the body builds itself up, right? The body builds itself up. That means the parts of this body are the builders, if you will. You know, I always am stuck, you know, when I read this. How does the body build up the body? You know, exactly how does it work? Well, here actually it tells us that the growth of the body unto the building up of the body is by the joining together and the knitting together, the framing together, right? In Ephesians chapter 1 at the end of that, chapter 2 at the end of that chapter, the fitting and the framing together is what causes the body to be what? To grow and to unto the building up. But here it says that joining, that knitting, that framing, that fitting is through what? Every joint of the rich supply, number one, and the operation in the measure of each one part, number two. Now, we all know that these refer to different groups of people. The first, the joint of the joints of the rich supply are those, shall we say, the more gifted members, right, given by the head to the body. These are the joints of the rich supply. So the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, whatever, prophets and teachers, these would be the joints. But it is also through the operation in the measure of each one part. This is the second category of believers. And I would say this would refer to all the members of the body. The rest of the members of the body, we are a part. We may not be a joint, but at least we are a part. And with this part, we are we have a measure. Just like the joints, they also have a kind of a measure. And this joining together and the knitting together of all the body are through the function and the working or the operation of each joint and also each part. So in the end, the body builds up itself by every joint and by each one part. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not like this body here somehow building up itself. No. It is when each joint or each part of this body would function, would operate, would supply whatever according to the measure, according to their gift. When that happens, the body is knit and joined together and knit together and framed together, and it will grow up and unto the building up of itself. So how is the body built up? The body is built up eventually by each member of that body. Whether it's a cell, whether it's an organ, whether it's a part, whether it's a joint, it is a individual part of that body functioning, operating, active, right? Living. that caused this body to be built up, to grow and to be built up. So just this, I think this verse would should give us a clear idea that of how important each part is, how important each joint is. When the joints are not working and each one part is not working, there would be no building up. There is no growing. So this is why I say the more I think about the growth, the building up of the body, the more I'm contemplating how does that happen? How does that work out? And I have to come back to each one. I have to come back to each joint. I have to come back to each part, each one part. In other words, I have to come back to each saint, each member. And I mentioned to some of the brothers that both in Romans chapter 12 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, both chapters talks about the body or the body life. In somewhat of a practical way, even the service, the ministry, the operations of the different parts in the body. In both chapters, this word individual or individually is used. So in Romans chapter 12, verse 5, so we who are many are one body in Christ. We are the many members, okay? But we are one body in Christ. And individually, members one of another. Why is that word individually inserted here? Why wouldn't Paul just say, we who are many are one body in Christ and members one of another? But he used the word individually. There's something about the individual member that is important. If I can put it this way, that we, you know, in the recovery church life, we're down on individualism. Am I right? We're down on being individualistic. Absolutely, this is correct. But I would like to tell you, the individual in God's economy is never canceled, never obliterated, never ceased to exist. In fact, in the New Testament, the individual is of utmost importance, while the goal is corporate. The goal is corporate. But the working out of that goal depends very much on the individual. Now, of course, I'm not here to stress and promote personal individualistic spirituality, you know, or to promote all we becoming spiritual giants. That age is over, all right? So I hope you're clear. I'm not promoting that because the inner life movement and all of that eventually, you may say, got off by focusing on the selfish spirituality, the individualistic spiritual attainment, and forgetting that God is not after that. No matter how many spiritual individuals there are, there's still no body. There's no building. In fact, that is a big problem in Christianity. So, absolutely so. Absolutely. But I want to make the point of my burden, and that is the individual is critical in that building. The individual. We may even in the church life have the idea, I don't need to be that strong. We're not for being individually spiritual. I'll just kind of ride along. I will just be in the body, quote, I'll just kind of show up. I'll just, and I'll be okay, you know. We do everything together, and we shouldn't be individuals. Do you think that is right? What do you think? I would like to tell you that is absolutely wrong thought. If you read the New Testament, I tell you, let me ask you first of all, is our calling or is God's foreknowing us, you know, God in eternity past foreknew us and marked us out. Let me ask you, is that individual or not? What do you say? Well, you say God marked out a group of people, and well, I know what you mean. But no, God foreknown me. You know, Paul said that. He said, and God called me by his grace, and he separated me in my mother's womb. Remember that? That is pretty individual. Very individual. So God foreknew us by our name, by our person. And then when the Lord comes, accomplishes redemption to save us, I like to ask, did he save you individually? You say, well, didn't Israel come out of Egypt as a army? So didn't Brother Lee say salvation is not individual, we're saved together, we're resurrected together? I know what you're saying, and I agree with you. But salvation is individual. God saved me, and the Lord saved you. It's highly individual, highly personal. Let's use that word. And God's calling of us is very, very personal. Very personal. Yes, God called all of us, in a sense, but the Lord called me. I can tell you that. I can tell you when. I can tell you the year. I cannot tell you the time. I can tell you the day that the Lord came and called me. Me. Not someone next to me, but call me. And the Lord, in his coming to indwell us, he come into each individual spirit to indwell our spirit, each person. And when the Lord draw us, constrain us to love him and follow him, the Song of Songs says, draw me and we will run after you. And we need companions, we need vital companions to run after. But I'm saying the drawing is drawing me. The me is not done, it's not over. You know, I was just thinking just now, at the end of John 21, the Lord, you know, they went fishing, the Lord cooked breakfast, and you know the story. And they ate, and then what did the Lord do? The Lord set Peter down and proceeded to talk to this one person. He didn't say, hey, you all, do you not love me more than these? No, he didn't do that. He was talking just to Peter. Peter, Simon, do you love me? Me, you love me more than these. Talk about personal. Talk about individual. He was just after getting Peter. In fact, the Lord's dealing with Peter is very personal and individual, you know, in those 3.5 years. He prayed for Peter. He said, I pray for you so that, you know, after you deny me, Satan wants to sift you, right? You know, but I pray for you, Peter. So that after you overcome this, you will go and what? Strengthen your brothers. very, very personal. And then the Lord says, feed my sheep, or shepherd my sheep, or feed my lambs. That is a personal commission to Peter. And Peter say, what about him? You remember that? What shall this man do? Referring to John. The Lord say, forget about John. Whether he will not die and he will see me, that's his business. You, I'm talking to you. You, Peter, I just want you to shepherd the sheep. And then he starts saying, you know, when you're young, you'll be like this. When you're old, you know, someone will lead you to a place you don't want. It's all a dialogue with Peter. Because he must gain Peter to what? To be the first one in this dispensational change, right? From the Old Testament to the New. In fact, to open the door of the kingdom, to bring in the first people who are all Jewish, right? To form the church on the earth. And then later on in Cornelius' house, etc., etc. Well, brothers, the more, as I say, I consider, oh, we need to build up the body, we need to build up the church, the more I'm thinking, how? If each of the saints, each part, each joint, is not right with the Lord, they're not vital, they're not living, they're not, does not have a life of fellowship, their relationship with the Lord is not robust, they don't exercise the gift that the Lord has given to them, they don't fan it to flame, the gift they have received from the Lord. How do you build up the body? How do you build up the body? Paul, the apostle in Colossians, told us how he worked. He says, warning every man, teaching and admonishing every man. Paul's work is highly personal, highly individual. But of course, Paul's view is the church, is the body, of course. But he also realized it's one man at a time. One person at a time. Brothers, the way to build up a local church is to build up each saint. Of course, eventually these saints need to be coordinated, fellowship, blended. Of course, we know that. But that's the next step. I'm saying each saint, if each saint is vital, strong, healthy, living, active, functioning, operating, you are like this, I'm like this, I tell you, woo, the body is working. The body is being built up. Satan knows this, so he did his best through the last 2,000 years to kill the individual, to annul his or her function. And so they're part of a congregation, but they're hardly useful. They have no fellowship with the Lord, no Christian life to speak of. They're just laymen. So I've been reading the New Testament again in this light. And my, everywhere I turn almost, this word, each one, each one, each one, each one, pops up all over the place. I mean, look, even Ephesians chapter 4, the chapter we just read, in verse 7, you know what Paul says? Paul says, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Each one. Each one. I was talking to, I don't know, I forgot who, but anyway, about the Lord's coming, you know, the parousia. And you know, the parousia, the coming of the Lord, is not like people think, you know, instantly Jesus showed up in the clouds. No, parousia is a, you know, 3.5 years journey, right? You know what I'm talking about, the Lord's coming. And somewhere before even he manifests himself to the physical eyes of the earthlings, he stops somewhere in this journey. And there he set up the judgment seat. You know, he set up the judgment seat, Christ. And all the believers, right, would be resurrected. The dead and the living will be raptured, right? Or some of them will be raptured. But anyway, the point is, all will be brought, will be judged at the judgment seat. And I would like you to spend some time and go through the New Testament and find out how many verses there are that says this. Each one will be judged according to their work on this earth, according to the living and according to their work, each one. So I cannot be your proxy, okay, and stand there to be judged on your behalf. It doesn't work that way. You have to stand there before the Lord to be judged. I have to stand there before the Lord to be judged one day. Then that will happen. So you cannot say, well, anyway, I was in a pretty good church life and there are 10 brothers with me. The Lord says, forget about those 10 brothers. You, how did you do? What did you do? How did you live? How did you serve? Each one. This is very, very serious, brothers. Very serious. Oh, if the Christians would even see this, they will be incentivized to pursue the Lord, wouldn't they? To live differently and to really follow and serve Christ. And talk about rapture. I could not find in the Bible double rapture, like I'm going to be rapture with you. You know, I'm going to, like those skydivers, you know, you got this teacher and this guy hanging below him, you know, that don't know a thing about skydiving. He just got tethered with this expert, and so he's okay. Let me tell you, coming down may be that way. Going up won't be that way, okay? You cannot tether yourself to Witness Lee, and then you'll be okay. You understand, brothers, what I'm saying? Rapture is a highly individualistic matter, personal matter. And so all the things, the Lord's growth in you is a very personal matter. Your fellowship with the Lord is a very private matter. And that's why I love Brother Lee's words in Song of Songs, personal, private, affectionate, intimate. It's personal. Personal. Okay, brothers. In the New Testament, there are multiple passages, including the one I just read to you in Ephesians 4:7, that stresses this matter of each one. Each one. Each one. When each one is normal, healthy, vital, active, I tell you, that's it. That's it. The body will work out. Will grow. Will be built up. Now let me, in case I still need to convince you, I'm going to convince you with one more passage, okay? This is in chapter 15 of John, right? On the true vine, you know, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. That's verse 1. Now let me read to you verse 2. Verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. He didn't say branches in me, he takes them away. Every branch, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. Now the Lord is talking about the universal organism of the triune God, right? This vine tree, this corporate thing. But the first thing of his charge out of his mouth is every branch. Brothers, each of us is a branch. And the Lord's word is to each one, every branch, that it would bear fruit. And if it does, he said he will prune it even more to bear fruit. It's a personal pruning. It's a personal fruit bearing. And verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch, one branch, cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So you want to bear fruit, you have to abide. And no one can abide for you. I cannot abide for you. You cannot abide for me. I have to abide in the vine. You have to abide in the vine. That abiding simply means in a continual, uninterrupted fellowship with the Lord, with the vine tree. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, he, and I in him. He, not they, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you, referring to the individual branch, can do nothing. Verse 6, if one does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is dried up. All these are highly personal words given to an individual branch. For what? For fruit bearing. By means of what? Of abiding in the vine. Now, what am I trying to say here, brothers? We're burdened for revival. We're burdened for renewal. We're burdened for a new beginning in the church life. We're burdened for the Lord's gospel, the Lord's spread. We burden for so many things to build up the churches in Northern California. Absolutely, absolutely. But tonight I want to tell you one main secret to that. And that is not some miraculous big revival that dropped from the sky and hundreds of us will be whatever. No. Don't expect that kind of revival. Rather, expect the revival of one. I call it the revival of one. But of course, I don't mean just one. I mean of the individual. The personal revival. Did not Brother Lee say the vital group starts with the group, with one person? He said that. You know, I mean, there's no such thing as a one-person group because it's an oxymoron. That's it doesn't happen. But Brother Lee said that. It starts with one person being revived and burdened for the increase of the Lord's recovery, right? You know, he will deal with the Lord. He would confess his sins. He would pray, etc. Then he would become, he would influence, he would reach out to another one, right? Now there's two. And then these two will reach out to another one or two. He said, that's how it works. That's the vital group. But it starts with one. I just love that word. The revival of one is eventually the start of the revival of the whole. If I would be revived, you would be revived, and he would be revived, and she would be revived, I tell you, that's how a revival happens. This is the law. This is the law. Or at least one law of revival. First, you are revived. Then you revive another one and be revived together. And then you go from there to revive another one, like these coals, you know, in a burning coals, right? One coal become hot and red hot and even white hot. Then you put some coals around it, and that fire or that whatever will then spread to those other coals, and then it will spread and like that. So, my dear brothers, these days I'm very burdened for our individual life with the Lord, our personal fellowship with the Lord, our living personally, individually, a revived life. And an overcoming life. I'm very burdened about that. If our personal, I mean, look, even the Lord Jesus, when he was on the earth, he was with the Father alone. You know, the word is alone in the mountain, alone in the wilderness. Now, I would not say that we don't have that, but my burden is the intensity of that. My burden is the frequency of that. My burden is the depth of that. Is it, after so many years, still the same, about the same? Or that your and my personal relationship with the Lord has been growing, deepening, widening. It's wrong, brothers, that year after year, the depth of our hidden life with the Lord is not increased. It is not, has not grown. And frequently, because of that lack of depth, the lack of, you know, intensity, that we don't have that impact. We don't have that influence on the others. To spread that spirit, to spread that life. It's not so dynamic. It's not so powerful. That's one side, all right? That's one side. That's the life side. Then the other side is what? Is the service side. Service side. Again and again, the New Testament tells us that each one of us has received a gift from the Lord. It varies. It is according to the grace. It is also according to the measure of faith. So it's different. The Lord gave you, and what he gave me is different. The quantity is different. And the kind of gift is also different. But what is expected of us is not different. And that is that each one of us would trade that talent, would invest the Lord's possession, would use the gift that the Lord has given to us to serve him personally, to serve him. And one day the Lord will again judge us. The master will return and judge us and find out what's the ROI, you know, return on investment. How faithful have you been, you know? What have you done with my money? And we will be what? Either be chastised as a slothful and evil servant, unfaithful, or we would be a good and faithful servant and to rule over some number of cities and so on. Brothers, this service is also highly personal. Highly personal. The Lord has given to you and to me something. And one day, he's going to come back and expect an account from us. What did you do with my possession? So, both on the life side and also on the service side, my brothers, each one of us have to rise up and live to the Lord and serve the Lord faithfully. When we do this, I tell you, the body, something will happen. The church, the body. You know, you cannot expect your local church to 100% all the saints like this. That's somewhat of a, it's a good dream, but somewhat of a dream. But let's say if a percentage of the saints are like this, starting with us, 25%, 30%, 40%, 50% of the saints are like this. I tell you, that is the start of something in a revived way. So tonight, that is the kind of a burden that is in my heart. We have to do this, and we also have to help the dear saints to realize this. Yeah, I will stop there. I'm finished before the time.
Amen.
On the one hand, we're in the body, we're for the body, we're part of the body. Everything we do is, of course, in that realm. And that's right and that's true. But we can never get away from this aspect. And that is the personal aspect. Yeah, was it last time when I talked to you? I don't remember. I found all the verses on one another. One another. Was it with you or with somebody? The one another church life.
You did mention it among us.
The mutual, I have a whole list. The church life is a one another life, mutual, love one another.
Absolutely. Serve one another.
Absolutely. That's otherwise there's no church life. We encourage one another. We bear one another. We forgive one another. We whatever, incite one another. It's just a marvelous, long list on one another. That's the church life. But tonight, I'm talking about something else, and that is each one. Each one have to live before the Lord and to the Lord. And each one of us have to be faithful to what the Lord has measured out to us or given to us, to use it, to use that gift, fan that gift into flame. Paul told Timothy, you do this, and he told him, fulfill your ministry. Don't despise your youth. And very, very personal charge to Timothy.
Amen.
If we would do this, brothers. In my serving life, goodness, since I was in my 20s, in the first little church I raised up with others, I began to learn to shepherd people, bring people to the Lord and then shepherd them and that kind of thing. I was very, very young myself. But from very, very early on, I found that the most effective and lasting kind of shepherding or perfecting work that I do is one person at a time. Until today. One person at a time. I found that work to be the most prevailing, the most lasting, the most solid. And I also found out for sure that when I am personally living and one with the Lord and I'm in a vital, even vibrant condition and I pursue the truth, I dig in, I learn things and then I'm active, in the meetings to function, then I do this or that, whatever. That's how I serve. That's how I serve. I don't join a group of brothers and ride along. You know what I mean? just kind of, I'm part of that group. No. I am accountable personally to the Lord as far as my life with Him is concerned, as far as my service in the church is concerned, and for sure, as far as my pursuit of the kingdom is concerned. There's no excuse, and I cannot have replacement substitutes, you know, want people to take my place. No. I have to be there. So, on the one hand, we are highly corporate, the body, highly corporate. But I would like to tell you tonight, brothers, this is still highly personal. And these are not mutually exclusive. Because we have the vision. The personal is for the corporate. But the corporate depends on the personal. The enemy's work is not to kill a bunch of people. He takes us out one by one. He's a sniper, you know. And we have to build up the church one man at a time. Starting with this one, you know, the group of one. Brothers, this is still the new year. It's still quarter one of the new year. We're 2 months in. Dear brothers, I think it is still a time for each one of us to have personal dealings with the Lord for this year, in terms of our living and in terms of our service with the Lord. The personal offering of ourselves or consecration, the personal prioritizing of our lives, what's priority? The kingdom first or what? The personal budgeting of our time and energy for the Lord based on our priority, which is based on our consecration. And make all this very personal. Personally accountable to the Lord. Yeah. Amen.
Brother Minoru, you just think of how Christianity is at the total extreme of one pastor and everybody else is dependent on that pastor. And but we still have the concept, you know, what's a normal Christian we think is exceptional. But Paul said he was less than the least of all saints. Brother Lee's burden was every saint should be at least a small apostle, a prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher.
Right. Right. It's very clear. The thing that is that have obstructed or to has prevented the church, the body to be built in these last, in the centuries in the Christian church, is the annulling of the one. The annulling of each one. You follow me? Annulling the Christian life, annulling the Christian service, making them useless and just bench warmers, laymen. And so the body is never built up. And the recovery, the Lord's recovery, is to recover what? The function of every member, of every part, every individual saint, believer. When each one would do this, the body is built up. So-called universal priesthood, right? But that means everyone. When you come together, Romans 14, each one has a psalm, a revelation, a teaching, whatever the case may be, but each one has. And when I as one would function, you as one would function, he as one would function, there you have it. There you have it. That's your meeting right there. First Peter 4. Each one, every steward, we are all stewards of the grace, right? Of this grace. But let each one minister that grace. Each one minister that grace. Yeah.
This is a real calling for all of us, first and foremost, to take care of ourselves, to do this for our living and service, and then to bring others around us into the same kind of view and perspective. We're all accountable, and the work needs to be one-on-one, as you said. And then we'll see the body come forth.
Yeah. Revival is not pour this can of gasoline and you have this woo, you know, fire, revival. No, it's one coal at a time, one piece of coal. And if this coal is white hot, not just red hot, but white hot, you just put a few coals, they will become white hot. And then they will spread the heat, they will spread, and eventually you have something that is hotter in temperature than this bonfire or whatever you're trying to. That burning will not last that long. But this burning, whoa. In every group, you need a few coals like that. In the church, you need a percentage of coals like that. Among the sisters, you need coals. Among the brothers, you need coals. In other words, those who would start to emanate, to spread this fire, this heat. So you want to raise up someone, you would spend time to pray with this one and pray with this one day after day until you start to see a glow, you know, in this person. Oh, you know, this is real. This is not a flash. This is something is glowing there. And the two of us will go to the other one and so on and so forth. you know, really, brothers, the Lord should, in this kind of a context, the Lord should have, all of us should experience, I should say each one of us should experience some very personal speaking from the Lord. Very personal. And I would even say secret. Secret. Private. Intimate. You are with him so much, like Abraham was with Jehovah. He opens up his heart just to you about something. And he gives you a personal commission, a personal word. I tell you, that word, that commission, often carries you to the day you die. But if you're just doing something because someone told you to do something, and you know what I mean, you're stirred up to do something, that would not be that lasting. Because that didn't come from the Lord to you directly. It comes from somewhere. Brothers, it is not a small thing for us to not use what the Lord has given to us. It's a very serious thing. You know, someone did calculation, right? I don't know whether I did it with you. How much is a talent? Do you know how much is a talent? You know, the talent in 3,000 or 6,000 denarii, you know, denarii, or whatever that word is. I have different brothers do math or do whatever they do. You know what is the latest number I received? And it was from some pretty credible brother. One talent, just one talent. In today's money, US dollars, $1.9 million. And you think, oh, I don't have five talents, I don't have two, I just have one. I would say, what? You just have one? Do you know there's almost $2 million in your pocket? But he won't spend it. He buried it. He buried it in the dirt, in the soil, in the world. And no wonder, you know, sometimes you wonder, I mean, what's the big deal? Why does the Lord say this? You're evil, slothful, what's too much, too harsh, Lord? Of course, he was a hard master. The Lord admitted that. But it's just one talent, Lord. The Lord say, no, that's $2 million. That's not a little. You know, a sister, after I spoke that, she said, I always thought one talent is about $25,000. Now, I don't know where that $25,000 came from to her head. The point is, when we think one talent, we usually think it's just minuscule, just a small amount. It's not bad, but, you know, $25,000. No, it's $1.9 million. In other words, even to the littlest one, the Lord gave a tremendous amount of his possession. And even if you use half of it, that's $1 million. That's a lot of investment. And how can we face the Lord one day and say, well, it's only one talent, so I'm afraid of you, and I did the safe thing, I just kind of bury it. How can we face the Lord? Oh, brothers, let's each one live to the Lord and with the Lord, and let each one operate and function what he has given to us, that gift. Amen. I give you some interesting report, okay? Now, just kind of out of nowhere. just to show how the Lord moves, you know. You know, now, because of the world situation, this African countries, Africa, are sending the people for higher education, college, university, not to the U.S., not to these places, to China. Do you know that? Like thousands and thousands and thousands of African countries, you know, Rwanda and Tanzania, whatever, you know, Ethiopia. And that become a phenomenon for some years now. And the churches in China somehow picked that up. While they could not do that much out of restriction to preach to the own kind, the Chinese kids, I suppose these foreign students are exempt, you know. I was just told that right now there are at least 3,000 African students that were saved and brought into the church life in China. In China, several thousand of them, and some have returned to Africa to join the church life, and some even went to some of the full-time training in Pretoria, in Ethiopia, and so on. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord is wonderful. The whole world situation is changing eventually for the gospel, for his purpose. But I will tell you that that is not without a price. And that is these Chinese saints gave themselves to shepherd these ones, even in some cases following them back to Africa until they are settled in a church life. You know, that kind of heart, you know. I'm just amazed. Why am I saying that? Well, I don't even know why I'm saying it. But maybe what I want to say is, brothers, if we do not live this way or serve this way, the Lord has many who will. The Lord has many who will. So I'm still very, very grateful to the Lord for what he's doing in NorCal. Still extremely grateful, and to afford a new environment in these years for so many brothers to rise up, to be of use. Very grateful. I'm here to, not to reprimand you or whatever. I'm here to encourage you. Now is the time to really, really live to him and serve him, and to bring about a revival in this country. Starting in your locality and mine. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Minoru.
Thank you, brother.
Amen.
Amen. If I'm too much, you forgive me, huh?
No, not enough.
Not enough, Minoru. Not enough.
Amen. Amen.
I feel I'm talking too much. And
No.
You're doing this too much.
And no. You're doing this, Minoru. You're doing this.
Fanning us.
Help to fan the flame.
Amen.
Amen.
But I just have such hope.
Amen.
Such hope in the Lord for the USA.
Amen.
For every part of the USA we really are at the cusp
of
really a turn.
Amen.
Into a new season or new stage in the Lord's recovery in this country. It's been 55 years now. 55 years.
Right.
And it's time. I just sense that it's time for a real new, for a revival to break forth.
Amen.
In every way, the strength, strong churches, healthy saints, fruit bearing condition, growth and spread, and the Lord's testimony being prevailing.
Amen.
And that would defeat the enemy.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. But it starts with one.
Yeah. Amen.
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 Okay. Amen.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.